Last week, I was at Camp Koinonia, sitting with their program director, Kyle, and Phil, who does event support. We were talking about the Super Bowl, the big game between the Patriots and the Falcons. Now, as a Denver Broncos fan, I feel like the Broncos set this game up today because both the Pats and the Falcons crushed the Broncos this season. Now, I know I shouldn't make assumptions about who we are rooting for, but since we are in Jets country, I think many of us are supporting whoever is facing the Patriots. Or maybe we're rooting for the commercials, the halftime show, or the fact we get to have snacks for dinner. So that's what Kyle and Phil and I were talking about. Who or what are you rooting for? And in the middle of the conversation, Kyle shared an insight I hadn't really thought about before. When it comes to sports, we who are fans act and talk like we're part of the team. When our team scores a touchdown, we high-five each other like we're the ones who personally scored. We don't usually talk or act this way when we're doing other things, like, say, being at a rock concert. I've never high-fived the person next to me, saying, "We totally killed that guitar solo." During certain events, our language and actions always keeps us at a distance from the person or piece of art that is the center of it. But competitive sports is different. Tonight, many of us will act like we're the ones on the field. We're the ones making the tackles, and we're the ones dancing in the end zones. And I think we do that because competitive sports connects us with something beautiful and emotional and full of triumph. When we're part of a sports fan nation, we have our own uniforms and our own heroes to talk about and follow. Being a fan invites us to see the world differently because we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he's telling the Corinthians that it's time to realize that they are more than just fans. They're followers of Jesus. And it's time to look at the world and each other with new eyes. Now, Paul, for the last few weeks, has been building an argument. The small and rather new Christian community in the town of Corinth is struggling. They've broken into cliques, with each tiny group claiming to be the one and only way to follow God. A woman named Chloe sent her people, and others sent a letter asking Paul for help. So Paul writes back, spending verse after verse, naming their differences and pointing them to something else. Even though they are conflicted, he gives thanks and reminds them that their differences do not break their status as a community. And because they are a community, they are to see each other as beloved children of God, even if they don't agree with the person sitting next to them. Over and over again, Paul points them to the source of who they are as a community. He points them to their common core, their common values, because what connects them together is the source of who they are. Now, the struggle over common values, or what we see as our common values, is something the Corinthian community knew very well. When they broke up into groups, they aligned themselves with the person who taught them the faith, explained it in a captivating way, and who baptized them. According to Paul, they expressed their identity as coming from the person who they connected with the most. We don't know exactly what the connection between these groups and leaders were like, but I think we can make some good guesses. For some, the chemistry between themselves and the leader was passionate, natural, and felt right. For others, an idea or a feeling or a sense of security and comfort brought them to see this leader as someone they should identify with. And I bet some more couldn't articulate why they identified with a specific point of view, but it probably felt like common sense or sounded like something they always knew. I imagine what we're currently experiencing as a nation right now would feel about right to the Corinthian community. The divisions we see between the White House, Congress, political parties, civic groups, and more are arguments and protests and marches and executive orders making claims about what our common values are. The specific issues are important, but they point to a deeper question about who we are and how we view each other. This, I think, is why our divisions can become so heated and be so hard. Like the early Corinthian community, it's hard to be together when our common values are splintered and reduced to being whatever opinion we hold. To break this reality, we need to see differently. We need new eyes and a new mind, a new perspective to find what holds us together. And the us, the we, that's important to Paul. In today's text, all these yous in this part of the letter are plural. Paul's not talking only to individuals. He's talking to us as a community. Because faith does more than connect us with God. Faith, this gift of believing that God is God and we are not, this gift connects us with other people too. And that can be hard. When we don't look the same or speak the same or have the same background or experiences, being a community isn't easy. My assumptions and experiences are not yours, and what you assume to be normal might not be mine. Diversity is hard. And yet a diverse community is what God wants us to have. Because the community that gathered around Paul at Corinth was a community of men and women, rich and poor, free and slave, Jew and Gentile. And this was a community that, even when they heard the Apostle Paul preach and saw some kind of works of power, even they developed deep differences. Since the very start, Christian communities have always been divided. But since the very start, they've also been united. Because there's a common value, a common identity, a common gift that God gives to each and every one of us. We matter. We matter so much that God sent Jesus into the world to live a human life, to struggle against a world that divides itself from God, and a Jesus who did not let the cross stop the love God shares. The common value that holds us together, that makes us who we are, is Christ. And Christ is ours because that's God's promise to us. This promise is not something we can earn or figure out on our own. The promise is just given to us because making and keeping promises is what God does. Christ is what we have. Christ's mind and eyes are ours. Because no matter where we are, no matter what we look like, and no matter what divides us from each other, we are part of God's community. We have what God promises to us. Christ's mind, Christ's love, Christ's ability to forgive, grant mercy, and make a difference. And these common values change our own. Because we're not just fans, watching the world and society roll by as we sit at home rooting for Christ. We're already on the field. We're already part of God's play calling. We don't have to pretend we're with God because we're already part of what God is doing in the world. We together have Christ. So with this gift, how are we going to use it? Amen.